Hallelujah. Let us offer Lord's Day worship service on September 3rd, 2023, before our Father with a devout heart. Let us pray together. On this holy Lord's Day, we give thanks that you have not abandoned us to the world, but have gathered us here to your bosom. We are eternally grateful to you for your great grace and love, which has enabled us to believe in Jesus Christ during our life on earth, to receive forgiveness of sins through his blood, and to share in your eternal kingdom and eternal rest as your sons. In return for this great grace, may all of us always obey God's will in absolute obedience, and may there be a precious work among us to fulfill Father's will through loyalty. In Boston, you personally established the precious church to proclaim the word of our Father. Please lay your blood-stained hands on the precious souls belonging to the local church, one by one, so that they may always give thanks before God without falling into darkness and become good soldiers of Christ, victorious in the world of the cross. May we receive with joy and eagerness the words you graciously proclaimed today, and may they dwell richly in our heart. Let it bear abundant fruit in every aspect of our speech, actions, and lives, overflowing with grace and thanksgiving, so that precious works may abound with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When we pray earnestly and desire all things, we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, today's scripture reading is we have two places. Is Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And second one is Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And Revelation chapter 1, 17 to 20. I like to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. And by the seventh day, by God completed his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work with his head he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works which God had created and made. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the key of death and of Hades. Write therefore the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." This is God's word. Today's title is the Hidden Spiritual Redemption of the Number 7 is part 2. Last time we saw that God created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. We saw that the God's redemptive work is hidden in the number 7, and that God wants us to remember and appreciate God's creation of the heavens and the earth and his redemptive work for the salvation of mankind, and to realize that the ultimate purpose of our lives is to serve God, especially on the Sabbath. In particular, in the history of Israel, God used the manna in the wilderness for 40 years to teach the Israelites, who had forgotten God and the Sabbath during their slavery in Egypt to worship God on the Sabbath. And though and through the rule of the providing manna to the Israelites, it was taught that on the seventh day, the Sabbath, manna could not descend, and that day was to be kept as a day of rest, not for human work, but for serving God, so that they may learn to observe the Sabbath. You can see that the Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 11, I like to read 9 to 10. The 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your maid or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stay with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. By keeping the Sabbath, God was teaching us that man does not live bread alone, but the word of God is our daily bread. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, he humbled and you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man live by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen. And by observing the Sabbath, he wanted to give us true rest, an eternal rest prepared by God, a share in the glory of heaven. In the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That rest is what the God's rest. Lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. The entire Bible, from the Genesis to Revelation, is the word of God revealing the absolute sovereignty of the living God as the unfolding of a great redemptive history to save man. And God has revealed to us eternal rest through the number 7, which runs through the redemptive history. God's clear principle that all days revolve around the seventh day Sabbath teaches that we simple humans need to be restored to be a state of rest. Rest is God's completion. As you know, it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So says the Lord in the Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God's beginnings began with the seventh creation and ended with his words to seven churches at the end of the Bible. Today's scripture is the Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, especially verse 20. I like to read, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw it in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven church, and the seven lampstands are the seven church. There's a seven. And the seven seals, and the seven trumpet, and the seven thunders, and the seven bowls containing the content of the end were to give us the picture of what was to come, a complete work of salvation and judgment. In fact, the concept of the creation and the rest contained in the number 7, which began in Genesis, is echoed in the Lord's final act on the cross. God created in 6 days, and the praise, and God saw that it was good, of course, 7 times. In 6 days, God saw that it was good, of course, 7 times. On the first day, the divine the light from the darkness in the Genesis chapter 1:4. After that, God said it was good. It's right there. On the third day, that day is twice. He said it was good. After making dry and the set appears in the midst of the waters in the Genesis 1:10, and after he saw that the earth brought forth grass, seed bearing vegetable, and seed bearing fruit in Genesis chapter 1:12. And the fourth day, after he made the sun and the moon to divide the light from the darkness, he said it was good. And the fifth day, after he had created the living creatures in the sea and in the expanse in Genesis chapter 1:21. And the sixth day, after he had made the beast and the cattle on the earth, Genesis chapter 1:25. And after he had created man in his own image and likeness, and had seen everything that he had made, God said it was very good in Genesis chapter 1:31. But when Jesus Christ hung on the cross on the hill of the Golgotha as the atoning sacrifice for mankind, he proclaimed the seven words in 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Is this a constant? It is a mystery of God's redemptions. The 6 hours that the Lord hung on the cross condensed his entire life. It was the moment when he fulfilled the Father's will all and completed his redemptive work, and it was the moment when he gave eternal rest to those who believed in him. According to the John chapter 17, verse 4 and 11, Jesus said, I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And verse 11, and I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. That meaning is what the invitation of the true rest. By proclaiming the seven words on the cross, the Lord was able to complete the Father's pleasing and desired work, which he had been doing since the fall of Adam. Didn't the Apostle Paul confess that he realized the work of Jesus who accomplished the Father's will in this way? In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, is a Apostle Paul is confessed right there. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In this way, seven become a number that symbolizes the duration of the consummation of God's will as well as the entirety of God's will. In the Bible, the number seven is the sum of four the number of perfection representing the north, south, east, and west of the earth, and the three, which represents the perfection of the divinity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, it is a number that reveals the perfection and the holiness of perfection, where the perfection of the earth meets the perfection of the heaven. When God was about to judge the earth with the flood, he had an ark built on a pier to Noah 7 days before the flood to give him a warning. 7 days before the flood. And the seven pairs of the clean animals came to Noah, and he put them in the ark. You can see that Genesis chapter 7, verse 2 and 9. And to know whether the water had the received, a raven was sent out, and the three doves were sent out 7 days apart. After Noah's flood, God placed a rainbow in the clouds as a promise that he would not again destroy all flesh by water. In Noah's time, it's like the same as what the end of time. That is the time of the Son of Man. That is all the days, all the fulfilled, made by, consist of the sevens. I like to read Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 about the rainbow. I said, my bow in the cloud, it shall be for sign of the covenant between me and the earth. My bow is what? There is a rainbow. This rainbow is a sign and testimony of God's covenant. The rainbow is a Hebrew, is a keshet, which represents a bow. This bow of God is a bow that shoots against the wicked. According to the Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, thy bow was made bare, the blows of the chastisement were sworn, Shelah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and quaked. The downpour of water swept by, the deep uttered forth its voice, it lifted high its hands. After the flood judgment, this bow of water is hung in the clouds as a covenantal testament that reaffirmed God's goodness and grace. The bow of water is then turned into a rainbow by the Son of Mercy and Grace, and God makes peace with his covenant people. There's a lot of the rainbow and the bow that has come to the Old Testament. Let's look at another example in the Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Isn't it? And Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, talked also about the rainbow. He who was sitting was like a jasper stone and sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, the God's throne, like an emerald in appearance. The rainbow represents the God's oath and by extension, God's word and its glory. Rainbows are droplets of water in the cloud that are refracted by the light of the sun and become visible to our eyes. This rainbow teaches us that Jesus, the invisible God and the Word is the visible God, the Word made flesh. The seven words proclaimed on the cross by Jesus, the very essence of God's glory, become for us the seven colored rainbow, the seven words of the covenant, and the seven words of salvation. Amen. When the Son of Man, the second coming, come in the cloud, he say that he comes as a rainbow in the clouds, as the seven perfect words of God for the salvation of mankind. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another strong angel. This is not angel. That is the talk about the Son of Man, the second coming. And coming down out of heavens, close with the cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like a pillar of fire. This is the appearance of the Son of Man. And when the Son of Man, close with the cloud, and with the rainbow his head, shout with a loud voice, there were seven peals of thunders. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 to 4. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when Orion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And the seven peals of the thunder had spoken. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." These thunders are not just boom and loud noise, but the voice of the Lord, the word of God. In the Psalm chapter 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. And also, I can give the another example. The thunder is the voice of God. And the John chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, I'd like to read, "Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." This is the Father's voice, right? And verse 9, "The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thunders. Other words saying, an angel has spoken to him." When the simple city of Jericho was conquered, they circled it once a day. And on the seventh day, after circling it seven times, all the Israelite peoples shout loudly toward the city. This was because it was a thunder of God that brought down the stronghold of sin. You can see that, you can find out that Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 to 20. So the name of the coming Son of Man becomes word itself. In the Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, "And he is close with the Lord, dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." His name is called the Word of God. In this way, the Lord came and is coming to us as the Word at the both and the first and second coming. As you know, the first coming is how to describe that in the John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." In this way, we can see that the seven worlds that represent the completion, fulfillment, and the judgment of the work of human salvation are fulfilled through the word and the voice of God, which resounds through the heavens and the earth and spreads to the ends of the world. Amen. In the Psalm chapter 19, verse 4, they already described that. "Their rhyme has the voice has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world." That is all the talk about God's word. "In them he has placed the tent for the sun." Amen. In the Old Testament, the number 7 is represented by the Hebrew word Sheba. Sheba. Additionally, the Hebrew word Sheba, meaning to swear, is derived from Sheba. Furthermore, the Hebrew word saba, which means to be satisfied, full, or abundant, is also derived from the same root. In ancient Hebrew, since vowel marks were not used and only consonants were written, words like seven and to swear were considered equivalent. When Abraham gave Abimelech seven ewe lamb as a gift, he confirmed with an oath that the well belonged to him. He called the well Beersheba, which means the seven wells or wells of oaths. You can see that this story is the Genesis chapter 21, verse 32-31. God swore on earth to show his absolute certainly that he could fulfill his covenant with us. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, "For the Lord your God is compassionate God, he will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your father, which he swore to them. Amen. So the seventh day and the seventh year are appointed as days of rest, days of oath, and years of oath by God. God has faithfully kept your covenant for generations to come forever. Amen. In the Hebrew, chapter 6, verse 13 to 14, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. Amen. And Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Amen. But we have broken our oath to God, and in order to redeem our oath to God that we have broken, God has extended an invitation to us on the day of our oath, the Sabbath. The number 7 is also used as a symbol of complete atonement. 7 days of unleavened bread were to be observed as a period of consecration in the Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6 to 8. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the feast of the unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days, you shall eat unleavened bread. The Apostle Paul was teaching the 7 day period of the unleavened bread as a consecrated way of life. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Let us, therefore, celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And as a sign of complete atonement, the blood of the sacrifice was to be sprinkled 7 times before the Holy of Holies on Day of Atonement. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14 to 19, they say, moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his fingers 7 times. 7 times. And with his finger, he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it 7 times and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrated. The feast of the tabernacle was also observed for the 7 days, the beginning of the July 15th. You can see there, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34 to 42. There is a consecration period. The Feast of Weeks, also called the Feast of the Pentecost, was the Feast of the First Fruit of Wheat, which was offered after 7 Sabbaths from Passover until the day after. And the day the law was given on Mount Sinai, and when the Holy Spirit descended and gave us a fuller knowledge of the Lord. You can find out the Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 17. Also, 7 is a number that represents a pure face without idolatry. In the Romans chapter 11, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, but what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I cannot say enough about the number 7 is found throughout the Bible. Dear Saint, every human being should live according to the principle of creation, which is dead, is Genesis 1, God created in 6 days and the rest on the seventh day. Those who keep the seventh day salvation, the Lord's Day, the change the Lord's Day, are blessed to have no hunger or thirst in their heart, to be always satisfied and filled, because the seventh day Sabbath is the shadow of what we will be in the eternal kingdom of God. After Adam, there must be a history of the restoration in the Garden of Eden, which he has become the dwelling place of wild beast. In this land, a time awaits us when we will contend with the number of the beast 666 and the number of God's salvation 7 through the world, to become God's divine soldiers, to put on the white linen. We must first fight against the 7 sins that defile our heart. The Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 15 verse 18 to 20, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile the man. We have all entered the land of Canaan, the shadow of the Garden of Eden, but as a good soldiers of Christ, we must defeat Satan, the devil, who since the fall of Adam has mistaken the Garden of Eden for his own. It is like the situation when the Israelites entered the land of Canaan through Joshua, but they could not rest immediately and had to drive out the 7 Canaanite tribes throughout countless wars. All the saints of our Lord First Church must fully comprehend God's profound will through the works of the Holy Spirit. Through today's word, we have come to understand the mystery of God's oath and the sevenfold secret that brings us complete and perfect salvation. We must now clearly discern what we must do in this land at this moment in our lives. I bless you in the name of the Lord that you will surely be victorious in the fight against the enemy within you and the spiritual forces of evil, and enjoy the blessing of participating in the eternal and the true rest prepared by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear God, as we worship today on this Holy Sunday, we thank you for enlightening us to the secret of the number 7 that pervades your redemptive history. Now that we know that your work in the creation of the heaven and the earth began with the 7 and will end with the 7 at the final judgment of the Father, grant that we may be all partakers of this holy number of redemptive through the merit of Jesus Christ. Let us lay hold of the holy, perfect, and judgment of the number 7, and let us first examine our heart, and let us remove by the word of the Father every gap of the unbelief and every remaining darkness of unrepented iniquity, so that we may surely be victorious in the final battle against Satan. You have given us precious church to hear, learn, teach, and proclaim your word. We strive to gather in the church every day, seeking to approach God with sincerity and a pure heart, so that we may truly become sons and daughters of our Father without shame. We pray for all things with earnest desire, and we offer our thanksgiving prayer in the name of our Holy Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to give you some announcement. The first one is, may all the members of Love First Church realize the secret of the seven numbers, that cherish them in their heart and win the battle against the Satan. The second, there will be a final church inspection this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. All who can come out, please come to the church and pray with us. Amen. And the last one, there will be a church cleanup today after the service at 1 o'clock. All are welcome to participate. Amen. Okay, we'll close the service with a benediction. Now may the unending grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, the great love of our Father God, and the stirring influence of the Holy Spirit reveal the mystery of the sevenfold to us as weak descendants. You have set us apart as the humble saint and the messenger of the last days. We pray that your presence may be with us over your heads, in the church, at the home, in the workplace, and in our business for all eternity. Amen. Hallelujah.